Greetings in Jesus' name. Glad for the presence of each one this morning. I went out pretty early this morning and I looked at the sky and it was hazy. It wasn't really windy yet, but it didn't take long until that wind picked up. We have a nice place to worship God this morning. Before I go into the message, I want to make one other announcement. Relation to the singing this afternoon, it is a church service, and let's dress accordingly. A couple of the last times, a few people showed up that weren't dressed as a church service. We are going to worship God with these people, so let's dress accordingly. I'm amazed at how different thoughts kept coming up all through the service this morning that just lined up right with what I wanted to speak on this morning. The message title that I have is Security in Christ. As Glenn was talking about his roadrunners, his pet roadrunners, they knew where their security was or is. Do you and I know where our security is? Do you know this morning where to go? You can turn to John chapter 10. I would like to start out here. And I asked Google a couple questions yesterday as I was studying. God has created us humans for the desire to be secure. I don't care who you are this morning, you have a desire inside of you that you are trying to get some security. You're trying to grab on to something to make yourself feel secure this morning. No human person is exempt. I even think those that are may not have their full mental capacity, they still look for security somewhere. Where is your security this morning? Some of these numbers just boggled my mind. The government spends billions of dollars. I think it was $600 billion a year on security. That's a lot of money. Can you fathom that? There are people that spend between $600 and $1,200 a month on home security. Just think what this church could do with $1,200 a month. If you're interested in money, does anyone care to guess what is spent annually on health insurance? Does anybody have a number that they think it is? It's in the trillions of dollars that is spent each year. This is just the country of U.S. This is not worldwide. I don't know if you would take like Europe, some of the more wealthy nations in Europe, in Russia and Canada, and put them all together. I don't know if there's even a number. Can you imagine? I can't even fathom trillions of dollars. That's just for health insurance. Most people pay $800 to $1,000 a year for car and home insurance. That's not together. That's each separate. Like they pay $800 to $1,000 on car and $800 to $1,000 on home insurance. And I ask the question again: where is your security? What kind of insurance plan do you have this morning? I want to start reading here in John chapter 10, verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews around about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones against to stone him. Here is the world's greatest insurance plan, if you want to put it in our terms today, what we would be familiar with. Here is the greatest security system that you and I can grasp a hold of in this life. There is no other business, there is no other man, there is no other church. There is nothing out there that can give us this kind of security that you and I can have this morning. Is it available to each one of us automatically? Let's go back to the first couple words that Jesus said. There in verse 26, he says, "But ye believe not." Those four little words, very easy to spell, is what keeps us from signing on to this insurance plan. This security that we can have in Christ is a simple signature of belief. And maybe we should tie faith in that with as well. Faith and belief this morning. If you do not believe in Jesus Christ, if you do not believe he has the power for your security, there is nothing. You are without any type of security. Unbelief is the most insecure plan to have. Man has a sense about him that he realizes without some being in his life, he cannot control the circumstances. Even the richest man in the world uses a being or his money, either or, to try and control his circumstances to bring security into his life. And as Christians, we realize this morning, there is no security that matches the security in Christ. We as Christians have the best. There is nothing that will top this insurance plan that John and Jesus laid out for us. John recorded Jesus' words. Let's read 28 and 29 again. "And I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." There's only one thing that can take you out of Christ's hand, or the Father's hand, God's hand, and that is your choice. Are you going to choose to believe in Christ this morning? Are you going to choose some other security plan? I don't want to spend a lot of time on unbelief, but we do need to face the reality. There are people that reject Christ. They never have accepted him. And they go down that path of unbelief. There's the path of unbelief this morning is a huge path. A lot of choices that you and I make come back to unbelief. There's that possibility I could wake up tomorrow morning and Satan could enter into my heart and I could choose not to believe in Christ anymore. And that would take me right out of the Father's hand. God does not walk away from us this morning. God does not dump us out of his hand. You know, different times I've watched, especially little boys, they'll catch a little toad and they'll be holding it and they'll talk to it and they'll stroke it and it'll be all at peace and all of a sudden, whoop, they dump it out. Maybe right into a puddle. God will never do that with us this morning. The only way to get out of God's hand is for you and I to make the choice to get out. There is power in any situation this morning. I don't care who you are or where you are at in life. There is power. God gives us strength to overcome. No man can take you out of Christ's or God's hand this morning. Your peace, your joy, your security this morning does not depend on circumstances or the people around you. It depends on your relationship with God. I'd like to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. number of these verses kept coming to my mind as I was thinking about what to share this week. And I had a hard time placing them because they always came to me in the middle of the night when I was trying to go to bed. Until the next morning, I'd forget exactly where I was at. But I finally pulled some things together. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to read verses 7 through 18. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. What treasure is he talking about? I think if you back up to verse 6, for God who commanded the light, that's the treasure that we have. The gospel light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts. That's the treasure you and I have this morning. Verse 7, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Can you say that this morning? There are troubles all around us this morning. And maybe some of those troubles are even within the church. They're all around us. But a lot of the trouble is around us in the world. Are you distressed? Or are you not distressed? We are perplexed. We don't know what to do. We don't have answers. We maybe have a sense of confusion. Are you in despair? Or are you not in despair? I'll let you answer that question. Persecuted. Are we persecuted this morning? I think even though the government does not persecute us Christians today, there is still a small amount of persecution we face from different areas for standing for what is right. Do you feel forsaken when you're persecuted? Do you feel cast down, but you're not destroyed? Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written. I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. Here again, I want to continue reading, but I'm going to stop here for a little bit. Here again in verse 13, faith and belief come out again. Paul could write this chapter. He could write verses 8 and 9. And with confidence not have, he could write and say, you know, we are troubled. But I'm not distressed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair because he had that spirit of faith and belief that the prophets and Abraham and Isaac and all those that had come on before, Noah, all those men of faith, he had that spirit of belief and that spirit of faith. And that is the same as it is for us today. We have a security. We can rest no matter what is happening because God is in control. We are in God's hands, and there is nothing that can separate us from that. Let's keep reading. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many abound. My Bible says redound, but that word means abound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. Here again, life has pressure, life has perplexities, there is trouble in life. But because of what God can do through us, if we avail of ourselves of that power, for this cause we faint not. But though our outman perish, or another way to say that is perishing. It's always happening. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. How could Paul turn around in his life? By now he had experienced many trials, many hard things, and he called them a light affliction. I haven't gotten to that point yet this morning. My troubles sometimes seem heavy. The temptations that come that seem to me that they're heavy, but Paul calls them a light affliction. Can you and I get to that point this morning where when we look at what God is offering for security, when we look at God's insurance plan for your life and mine this morning, can we call this light a life a light affliction? The things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. I just want to read a verse out of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You do not need to turn there. Just another encouragement to me. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. I'm just going to stop there for a little bit. So many times when I'm in something hard, whether it be a temptation, whatever, Satan wants to bring to me this little lie that nobody understands. What I'm going through is very unique to me. This is my own, there's just nobody out there. But it is a lie. Because the Bible says right here, there is nothing that comes to us that is not common. There have been thousands of people before us that have went through some of the very same things that we went through. And each one of us do have our own unique temptations and trials and problems that we have to work through. But God told Paul to write, it's common to man. The temptations that come to us is common. There is nothing that can surprise God this morning. Even the hardest thing that humans face is no surprise for God. But I love the rest of the verse. But God is faithful. Has God ever let anybody down? Do you know anybody in history that God left down? That God walked away from? That God just, okay, I'm tired of you, I'm done. There's no one. Thousands and thousands of people have walked away from God this morning in history. But God is faithful. He will not walk away. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape it, that you may be able to bear it. I'd just like to go to Psalms. There's four different Psalms I would like to look at. And I'll come back to the New Testament to wrap the message up. Psalm 27. I don't know if David wrote all these Psalms that I want to look at, but I've been reading through the Psalms in my personal devotions. And looking at what David went through and the trials he went through, and yet the testimony that he pours forth at times. And I am by no means reading all of David's Psalms this morning. There's just so much that he writes. But let's read Psalm 27. I'll make comments as I go through. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Probably all of us memorized that verse as a child. Is that your experience in life? Have you experienced that? Who are you afraid of this morning? You have the Lord on your side. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. I looked at that verse for quite a while. I don't know how many people make up a host, but it's probably a lot. And then he says, though war should rise against me. And I think for you and I today, we could say, you know, there's people out there that are saying persecution is coming. Does that bring fear into your life this morning? It doesn't need to. Let's read verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I believe verse 4 is the reason David could write this psalm, and I don't know when he wrote it for sure. Possibly it was right after a severe testing. But he could write it because of his desire of God. And that has to be a part of your and I experience this morning. We need to desire God. We need to seek. We want that. We need to be filled with the desire to dwell in the house of the Lord. And not only that, but to just see the beauty of the Lord, to praise. I see in that phrase there, to behold the beauty of the Lord. We look for ways to praise God this morning for the goodness and the mercy that He has shown to us, and to inquire in His temple, to spend time with God's people this morning. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. Now David's talking about future things that may come. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God, of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Who of us have faced harder things in life than David? And yet, this man wrote this psalm, and the goodness of God just pours forth from it. Let's go to Psalm 48. I don't believe I'll read this whole psalm. But I do want to bring out a couple verses. Let's start reading in verse 4. No, let's start in verse 3. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there in a pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. And we have heard, so have we seen, in the city of the Lord, of God, of hosts. In the city of our God, God will establish it forever. Selah, we have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. I'm going to stop reading there. Notice the contrast between the two sets of people here. There was the kings that did not believe in God, and they were afraid. They didn't have security. They wanted to get away from God. They wanted to haste away. They wanted to hide. Fear grabbed a hold of them. Verse 9, people that know God, people that put their security and trust in God, we have thought of thy loving kindness, O God. A total different view of God for people that know Him. Psalm 46. Another very common psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Is that your testimony and mine this morning? That's a picture of peace and trust. Can you imagine the Florida mountains being just picked up and taken up and plopped into Elephant Butte? Would that cause you to shake and tremble? Or would you just rest and say, well, God is in control? And I want to look at Psalm 43. I believe I will read this one. It's a short psalm. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill, to thy tabernacle. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. It seems like David started out here, and I see my thought patterns right here, that there's things around me that cause me to wonder where God is. Verse 2, David asked the question, why dost thou cast me off? You know, there's times we feel like in the middle of our trial that God isn't close. And then we get to verse 5. We begin to do this thought process. We begin to praise God. In verse 4, we begin to think more and more of God. And then we start in verse 5. Well, why art thou disquieted? Why art thou upset? God is your only hope. Begin to praise him. And suddenly we see by the end of verse 5 that David was just relaxed and he trusted in God. And that's where I want to bring each one of us this morning, to bring our hope, our trust, our security in God, because there is no other place to go. I'd like to close by reading several verses in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 is possibly one of my most favorite chapters in the Bible. It's so full of so many things. I'm just going to read this, and I'm going to let most of it just speak to you this morning as I read. But I do have a question to ask at the end. We're going to start reading in Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor creature, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Do we have that faith this morning? Do you grasp a hold of them promises? Paul starts out by asking, is there things in your life that can separate you from the love of Christ? And I believe that we could answer yes. We can allow these things to separate us. But Paul had the testimony that he was persuaded that there was nothing in this life that could separate him from Jesus. Paul goes through basically everything in life and comes to a conclusion, there is nothing that can separate him. And I ask myself this question, and I ask you as well. Can the shortcomings of my brothers and sisters separate me from the love, the joy, the peace of God? I'm just going to leave that question with you to answer in your own heart. I've already answered it in mine. Let's kneel for prayer.